that put any pressure on you guys to succeed?
Who are the Golden Knights? only pressure is that the sniping of people saying you got to do as good as them.
It's just good. Vegas is treating us well, and I think the record doesn't show how hard that we work, and it's tough in that way, but it's good for us in the inner circle to understand what we have going on in Vegas, and if we just continue to trust and believe in each other, the sky's the limit for this team, and I'm blessed to be a part of it.
Our expectations maybe at the start of the season were a little unrealistic.
Man, we're not even worried about the playoffs right now. What we do is we take it week by week. We gotta worry about next week. You start looking ahead and you start looking over people, you might not even make it. So
that being said, to me, Urban Meyer is one of the lowest pieces of garbage there is on this earth.
You are tuned in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network.
I'll be honest with you, Quan, that first beat that you played, man, during the countdown, I felt like telling you to turn the mic on. I was going to throw a freestyle. It's an old beat. It's an old thing that I have already. It's a written lyric. It's not that type of freestyle, but it's something that was written years ago when I was younger, and I thought it would have sounded good. Who knows? Maybe I'll have Quan play it at the end of the show, and I'll go crazy. Anyways, once again, you already know what it is, man. Your boy, Jose V, ENB, Quan 5'9", up in the studio. It's Wednesday afternoon, a little bit past 4 p.m. here on the West Coast, past 7 p.m. if you're checking us out on the East Coast. You are tuning in to Straight Bet Sports live on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. We greatly appreciate you guys tuning in today, as you do every single week. I'm going to ask you, as I ask every single week again, I sound like a broken record. Ian looks at me and goes like that because he already knows what it is. Press that like button. Press that share. Drop a comment and we'll go from there. Let everyone know what it is that you're watching
already
today.
Getting your rhymes in, man.
Exactly. You got to. I try to remember to make sure I say it the right way, the way it sounded before, man. But Quan playing some fire beats today to get us going, man. It's always great to be hyped up when you get the show started, the show ready. And once again, man, 702-608-3259. You already know what it is. That is the phone number if you want to give us a call here on Gorilla Cross Radio on the show. Let me put my volume down before I make sure you guys don't hear everything else that we're saying on the other side of the mics, man. But talk about getting hyped. Talk about getting ready. We got a guest on the show. We're going to bring him on here in just a matter of moments. Ian, but I know you're ready, bro. I know you're excited. You have a lot of stuff to talk about with your Eagles. And I know there's people that are going to say, why is this guy going to talk about Eagles? But there's good things that are going to be talked about there. Our good buddy, Sosa, the locksmith of the Wise Guys Diamond Club, Daily Bread Media, Sosa World.
I mean, into.
This
crazy
guy's got
week
so
too,
much
man.
Stuff, right? Definitely. But he's going to be on the show here, joining us shortly. But again, we talked about getting hype. If you guys see the shirt, this is the official shirt. Shout out to my guy, TC Martin. He was on one of the trucks passing out the shirts during the parade. He was part of the organization. He was all there. Just got to hang out with him on his show, TC Martin's show on KSHP Radio 1400 AM out here in Las Vegas. Big shout out to him. Appreciate you giving me a few moments on the mic with you, man, and just talk about the Aces and what they've done. But Ian, yesterday, man, that parade was off the chains. I know you couldn't make it because you had to work, but bro, it was something that I think Vegas has been waiting to see for a very long time. One of our guys, I speak to him all the time on Twitter. That's why I say one of my guys, right? Because he gives me the time of day. Hugh Myers covers the Raiders out here in Las Vegas. I got to walk right next to him as we're walking back to the car. And he goes, imagine if this was the Raiders. Imagine if this was football team winning. They've had the whole strip shut down. That's no disrespect to the Aces. The people showed up. They showed out. It was a great
there's
atmosphere.
There's a mass turnout. I saw them cleaning it up. Obviously, I got to work, you know, around 11. So I got to see them kind of cleaning it up. And, yeah, it looked – look crazy. There's, you know, debris they're still doing, but from all the videos it looked like there's a mass turnout.
What you got?
So if it was the Raiders, they wouldn't have had them just jaywalking across the street for the parade.
No, yeah. I think the whole thing would have been
the
closed.
Whole strip. Okay,
yeah, but you know what though, the setup,
they probably would have made a bigger event out of it. And
couldn't they have done a little more than just like have them cross the street for a parade? I mean, maybe at least go down to Mandalay Bay from Bellagio. Yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was thinking Mandalay Bay to Bellagio, you know what I mean? But I can see that too, Bellagio to Mandalay Bay, definitely. But I like the way that it was set up. Me and Quan were talking about it earlier. They had the media. It was right
maybe
in front of the stage.
Maybe they were scared of shooters up there in Mandalay Bay. I don't know.
Too soon.
God, that's why I love that Quan's okay with grabbing the mic. Sometimes you got to add a little bit of flavor to the show. But like I said, it was a great atmosphere, great turnout. The front stage, I liked that it was all reserved for the media. So the media got front stage and center if you want to take pictures, videos. Our guy, Evan Guerra of Straight Bet Sports and Drumline AV, got a lot of great photos, man. He's going to be posting a lot of stuff. And shout out to our guy, Brian Salmon. He used Evans' photo from the previous UNLV game against UNT, posted it on the article that they use on the website. So big shout out to him as well, man, for doing that. You do great work, man. You get noticed. So that's awesome, man. I love the fact that we got Evan out there doing his thing, man. He's enjoying it. But Aces, big ups to you. Congratulations. And the only thing I got to say left, nobody's talked about this. They own this season every single MVP possible. Commissioner's Cup, All-Star Game, League MVP, and Championship MVP, baby. So big up to the Aces, man. Congratulations. Awards, so. A lot of people said, and we a lot of agreed, that they would be the first professional franchise to bring a championship here to Vegas. They did. We'll see what they do next
Major
year.
Major League professional
franchise. I think back-to-back. Call me crazy.
Major League professional.
I think back-to-back. I think back-to-back. But hold on. I'm getting a message here. Oh, yeah. You know what? Let's finish off the Aces conversation. Let's bring, because he's texting me about it. So let's bring in our guy, Sosa the Locksmith of the Wise Guys Diamond Club, among other things. What's up, my guy?
Welcome.
How's
welcome.
It going out there? You got the Niner hat on. I see. Is that the old school Niner hat?
Your mic.
You got to unmute the mic.
What up? What's good, guys? How are y'all?
Good, man. Chilling. We appreciate you joining the show and hopping on with us for a few moments tonight, my brother.
Appreciate you having me on. I was going to say, you left out Defensive Player of the Year. Asia won that too.
No. I get that, but I'm talking about the MVPs. The only, you know, all
Coach
the MVPs
the year,
possible. They got all
improved.
Of them.
Yeah,
but
they swept.
They swept.
Yeah.
Hey, but real quick, man, I've never asked you about WNBA. Give us 30 seconds. Your thoughts on the season and what you saw from the Aces, my guy.
Chelsea Gray, just an absolute dog. I mean, if you're talking about just down the stretch of games, closing games and every round, just an absolute leader. I think that, like a lot of people, if you weren't familiar with her, you're familiar with her now for sure, just because of her contributions during the playoffs. What Becky Hammon brought as far as like just this open offense with a lot of threes, a lot of perimeter shooting, you know, just a lot of modern NBA things. I think it's a model that a lot of teams are going to follow. You see a lot of WNBA teams. It's a lot of like slow, walk it up, fundamental stuff. I think that in the coming years, you're going to see an attention to pace and three-point shooting, much like you see in the men's game. And part of that is Becky Hammon introducing that with this Aces team. It's very modern offense. At times, you know, they get caught up in it to where, you know, they miss some shots. They kind of get lackadaisical defensively. And then that once they tighten up and hit their shots, they can run you right out the gym. So I think that that's the biggest thing I see from this Aces team and Becky Hammon just a move towards modern basketball and just more WNBA teams kind of adapting that mindset. Because remember, when you score a lot of points, it's more entertaining. You don't have to move the hoop to accelerate the pace and shoot more threes.
Yep.
So I think that that's the biggest thing takeaway for me from this. It's a template being shown by a team that is for the modern game and it's for the advancement of the women's game, which I think is the biggest thing in all of this.
They set the blueprint, basically. They basically shown what an organization should be from top to bottom. They created a roster like none other. And Becky said it yesterday, bro, at the press, at when they were doing the parade in the front when she had the mic. She said, "I don't care what you say. No coach can win without a great roster." And she proved that. She proved that this season. And every single day during the media, after every game, she was always, I'm getting better. So that's what I love about her, man. I think we got the blueprint now. I think teams are going to follow. I think the Aces will be good for years to come. But moving into
every player is coming back.
Yeah, and exactly. And every player is coming back under contract. No other team in the WNBA.
And now, why would players not want to come to Vegas? They sell out every night. So it's an actual – and y'all make
great ownership, great facilities. I mean, what else do you want?
You guys actually make it an event. It's something to go to. It's y'all do that really great with every sport. I mean, y'all were doing it first with the hockey team. Obviously, when y'all got the hockey team,
yeah, the Golden Knights.
Y'all made it an event, and that's the one thing about Vegas that you can always get is you're gonna get entertainment to some extent, and the team brought that to go with good basketball. So it was a win-win across the board.
Yeah, man. Once again, big shout out to the Las Vegas Aces. I say they go back to back. We'll see, man. But good stuff there. We got to talk some NFL, but we're going to leave the full NFL chatter to a little bit later. But we brought you on, Sosa, because, like I said, you and Quan are two of the most knowledgeable, unbiased 49er fans that I know. Now, you guys, yes, always, we're going to win every week, this, that, whatever. Every fan should say that. I get that. But when you get down to actually talking about your team, you're not biased. You know what I mean? I don't care what anyone says. You know what the heck you're talking about, and you guys know football. Now, the whole Jimmy Garoppolo situation, before it went down, Everyone was chomping at the bit. Where is he going to go? Is he going to get traded? What's going on? Nobody's behind closed doors, but yet everybody want to act like they are behind closed doors and they know everything, right? Now it looks like the whole fact that he came back and signed that contract was the greatest thing that could have happened to the 49ers. Now, to be honest with you, I got nothing bad to say about what's going on in San Francisco right now. I think whether they had Trey or whether they had Jimmy, they'd be all right. But I think the fact that you have a guy in Jimmy Garoppolo that already knows this team, has already won with this team, hasn't won a chip, we get that, but he's won with this team. It's plug and play, right, bro? There is nothing to worry about at this point. But what are your takes on the 49ers this season, especially now with the whole Trey Lance situation, him being out, and the game plan changes now? Or does it?
Well, I mean, before Trey Lance got hurt, the ceiling was the Super Bowl. After he got hurt, the ceiling was the Super Bowl. the team is built to win. We finished one game away from the inevitable, you know, final game last year with Jimmy as the quarterback. Obviously, like, there, it's a twofold situation. You look at it as a fan and you understand that maybe that there is a legit ceiling to where Jimmy might limit you from being a championship winning team. But all the components to be a winning team are there, right? The idea behind Trey Lance is that he offers you a different level of athleticism to give you just some play calls that you wouldn't be able to call with Jimmy Garoppolo, making you a little less predictable and making you a little less susceptible to what the defense is going to give you on the other side. So that's what you eliminate. Like, you eliminate the idea of bigger plays, whether it be through the run game with the quarterback or just having more explosive plays over the top with a quarterback that has a bigger arm. Like, that's what you project with, like, with the Trey Lance. With Jimmy, he's just –
He's like efficient.
A plain pizza.
He's a what?
There's no toppings. You know what I'm saying? It's like Trey Lance is like the pizza with the bacon and the pineapple. I don't like pineapple on pizza.
But you'll eat it.
Just a little extra razzle-dazzle, just something. You know, just something to add to it. That's what Trey Lance is. But Jimmy's just a regular pie. We're good. I'm good with that. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna get you what you need. It might not be as appetizing. Pause. But again, at the end of the day, I like what you get. The floor you get with Jimmy Garoppolo is just fine given the talent around him.
Go ahead, Quan.
So I'm okay with it. Trey Lance really hasn't done shit in a Niner uniform, respectfully. I like the guy, but he hasn't done anything. So how can I even know if he's good? He hasn't done shit. I seen Jimmy in the NFC Championship last year, and I seen Jaquiski Tart drop a punt that should have been an interception. So I'm okay. I'm cool. I'm not sad. The guy hasn't played. I don't know if he's good. I know we won some games with Jimmy. I've seen that before.
Quan, what you got?
Hey, broski, I know you get heated, bro, and I love it. But remember, we're
family entertainment.
Family entertainment. You can't say yeah.
A little bit.
But it's all good, though. But Quan's got to say something about little comments here.
My fault.
Yo, I was 12 weeks off, but August 29th, I posted, Lance gets hurt in week 14. Jimmy steps in, leads 49ers to the Super Bowl, and wins it with the TD pass with time running out. I posted that August 29th. I was 12 weeks off, so my bad. But I predicted Jimmy G would be winning the Super Bowl.
All right, so
to say, we forgive you. The Niner faith will forgive you. Quastradamus is forgiven.
So with the whole Jimmy G, Trey Lance, right? Trey Lance, I think, in terms of your team, I think it's a little bit overstated because I do think that you guys have been injured the last couple of years, so it is hard to make a Super Bowl. We all know that, right? So, Jimmy G, yes, you have that NFC Championship kind of title ceiling, right? But with Trey Lance, as an organization, you get into a trouble spot here because the guy hasn't actually played two full games as a starter since 2019. So, because remember the, COVID year, he opted out. They did that like weird showcase game for him in college. Then he gets drafted, sits behind Jimmy G, doesn't play two games consecutively, and then now he's hurt and he's out for the year. So it's, in terms of development, you guys traded out a lot for
Jimmy G, for Trey Lance.
So it's not necessarily a good thing to to have Jimmy G back there. It is from a team standpoint because I think he operates your offense way more efficiently right now. But as terms of long term, I think that it's really going to hurt the quarterback position for your team.
Can I say, hold on, can I say something real quick? The one thing that I will say that I think the Niners have proven this year, even though I know it wasn't probably the greatest, you know, little thing going back and forth between them and Jimmy G, but I think one thing that they've proven without trying to prove it is that
they play for him harder.
It's okay to pay a little bit for a backup QB that's worth it.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, here.
Go for it.
Here's my thing. Like, the floor doesn't change for the team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see that to be an issue. To be personally honest,
I think it increases.
And then also, this is something you said: the words long term and future. Those words don't really exist in the NFL. It's a year to year business. There is no future. There is no long term. Franchise quarterbacks get hurt all the time.
Definitely.
There is no future, or you know, and that's how I look at it. It's a solely year to year business. The whole idea of players being good, that's not real. That's not the reality. Like, the NFL is a one-year business. The year we got to the Super Bowl, we picked second in the NFL draft. The year that Cincinnati got to the Super Bowl, they picked top five.
No, and
there is no year to year. Like, whole idea of giving up picks don't matter. You just saw the Rams give up every pick
for 7 years
and won a Super Bowl. So that's just my thought process. The idea of a player and the reality of a player are two completely different things. The idea of Trey Lance is beautiful. He's also still the youngest starting quarterback in football. Even with an entire draft class after his, he's still the youngest NFL quarterback with an entire draft class after him. The future is bright for him. He will recover. He will be back. He didn't have a compound fracture. It's a dislocation and a broken ankle. It should heal just fine. Is Kyle Shanahan going to use him like a fullback when he comes back? We don't know.
Yeah, he probably will if he's still there.
Hey, I have a question for you. Now, obviously, flip it up. Name of the show is Straight Bet Sports. You're a gambling guy. That's part of that. That's your top notch right there. We get that. How does this change your perspective as a gambler if you're someone that had – there's people that plan out a whole season for one team, right, week by week on what they might be betting, and they're already following this team based off of what the other team's going to do that they're going to play next week. Does this change anything as a bettor in your eyes if you're betting this team moving forward for the rest of the season?
No, not even a little bit.
Really?
Changes nothing. The defense is still elite. The team lost 6 games last year and got to an NFC championship. There's going to be times where you lose games in the NFL. It's a matter of not getting on 4 or 5 game stretches where you can't get a win. The NFL is not no one's going undefeated. And if they do, then they probably won't win a championship because the numbers say that barely happens ever. It happened once. So you're going to lose in the regular season. It's about not being too high, too low, and not losing your superstars. Trey Lance has not proven anything. He's not a superstar. He's just a guy who everyone thought would be good. With Jimmy, it continues to be the same. Nothing changes. He actually knows the offense better than Trey Lance.
So wouldn't that increase your odds? Like, I guess that's what we're saying. Like, are you higher on this team now that Jimmy G is the quarterback? Because with Trey Lance, yes, the potential is there. But again, he just wasn't operating your offense efficiently as Jimmy usually does. So it kind of becomes like, were you worried about possibly the riskier plays with Trey Lance? Because those riskier plays, as you know, can cost games. So with Jimmy G, it's a little bit safer, more efficient. Does that raise the stock of the 49ers for you?
See, that's the thing. I had us – there's not a game on the schedule I look at and think that we can lose with – that I say we would lose with Trey or Jimmy. I think that the you trust things like the system, the head coach calling the plays, and the defense is really, really, really good.
Okay.
I think for me, it remains the same. I have us with a Super Bowl level team with Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo, because I don't think Kyle was going to ask either to go win his games.
All right, so real quick, let's run down the schedule. And I don't want to know why, just yes, no, and that's it. I know what you're going to tell me. You guys are going to win every single game. Yep. But Broncos, Niners, I think you guys win that game coming up.
Yeah.
Agree, obviously, right?
Yes.
Rams, you guys have the Rams at home. I think you guys win that game as well.
We beat them the last six times we played in the regular season.
Panthers, Niners, I think the Niners still go on the road and beat the Panthers. And the Panthers got trouble, even though this is only week three, but I'm just saying. What do you think?
The win, yes.
49ers, Falcons.
Win.
On the road. Now we go back to L.A. I think you guys lose this one. I think the Rams do get you at home.
Got more fans.
Yeah, they were up 21-3 the last time we were there.
Niners, Cardinals. I think the Cardinals get you guys in Arizona.
No, that's no.
What week is that?
Ian's with you. No. That's week.
What week is that?
Ooh.
What week is that? Because is Hopkins back or not? That matters.
1, 2, 3, 4. It does matter. And I think he comes back the week after.
Week 10.
He's back.
Oh, is he back?
Yeah, so he'd be back.
Monday Night Football.
At Arizona?
Yeah, at Arizona, Monday Night Football. I'm telling you, give me Arizona.
I like us.
I like us.
I still like 49ers by a slight edge there.
Saints, Niners, I if this game was in New Orleans, I'd take New Orleans, but I think you guys pull this one off.
Saints, Niners bet the under.
It's just me, though. I'm just saying. Bucks, Niners, I think the Bucks got you guys. Quan's laughing in the background.
Listen, Tom Brady has had Shanahan's number. I think we kind of all know that. But against the Bucs, possibly. Their secondary has played really good, but also, like, their secondary has also had injuries the last three seasons. So, like, their defense is a house of cards. If one of those corners go down, it starts getting murky. Yeah. Yeah. It changes. They have very good frontline talent, but anybody goes down in that secondary – The Tampa Bay Bucks can be cooked.
They get burned easily. Yeah, 100%.
So, I like us. What's the next one?
I don't even know if I want to run through this damn schedule anymore because, like, again, we're going based off of week two and what people are doing right now. I think you guys are going undefeated possibly for the damn rest of the season. Like,
Chris Wood says, according to Quan, and
Quan says
16-1, regardless who's under center. Awesome.
Is there going to be a monsoon? Because in games not played in the monsoon, we're undefeated.
Okay.
Hey.
Real.
Once again, man, Straight Bet Sports, Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9", Sosa joining us from Philly.
That wasn't the whole schedule.
Did we start this out saying that they were realistic 49er fans?
That was like, the whole schedule.
But that's the thing. You don't understand what I mean by that. They are realistic fans in their own mind.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you know how hard it is to look at the schedule and be like, our defense can't handle them. Like, our defense can play against anyone. That's the thing. I'm not even thinking about, like, I don't even think of the
unless it rains.
I think the defense is amazing. As long as Fred Warner and those boys are healthy, I like us. I like
the defense. We need to check the weather for every single game.
There's a difference between rain and swamp water.
Rain and swamp water.
I mean, that is a bad field. I mean, Soldier Field is one of the worst. So.
In the grass. You know, they're like, man, it's clearly a setup. Like, obvious.
So check this out, my guy. 49ers -1.5 on the road against the Broncos this week in Denver. 44.5 is the total. 81% of the tickets, ATS, and 85% of the money currently on your Niners. 62% of the money is on the under. Obviously, it's Wednesday, bro. It's early. A lot can change in the next 3 days. We get that. What are you looking at here? Do you really bet your team? Because I don't, if I'm being honest. And the only time I'll bet my team is if I'm just doing a freaking lottery ticket parlay.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't bet.
I'll give you honest advice from a gambling standpoint.
Let's go.
I'll give you honest advice. The Broncos have looked awful thus far from a play calling standpoint to just the execution standpoint, just across the board. I'm not high on Russell Wilson. I think he just got away with one of the biggest heists in the history of football. He hasn't been good the last 2 years, but there are fans that will get on the internet and lie. He hasn't been good. Seattle didn't have a problem letting him out the door in his athletic prime. It doesn't tell you anything. Like, who they think the oldest coach in the NFL over Russell Wilson at 33. Like, so, that doesn't correlate to me in any manner. From a gambling standpoint, I can't bet on the Broncos to score points. Not against us. Look at what they did against Seattle. They fumbled twice inside the five, and the play calling was just atrocious at the end of the game. Nathaniel Hackett is finally understanding that he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams out there anymore.
Uh-huh.
It's a 5'11 guy and a couple of receivers that are kind of good. It's not the same. It ain't Aaron Jones back there. You know, he don't have an all-world left tackle.
Although I will say he's misusing Javonte Williams heavily. I mean, Williams is good. I mean, when it comes to forcing missed tackles, I mean, he's one of the best. So the fact that he hasn't been utilizing him at all really says something about his play calling skills.
Best advice, though, for this game is I actually just tweeted about it. 10 of the 13 games prior to primetime, underdogs covered them.
Wait, say that again. Say that one more time.
Ten of the 13 games prior to Sunday Night Football, underdogs covered.
Okay.
10 of the 13 games. All three of the primetime games, the favorites not only covered, they covered by more than a touchdown. That's not crazy to you? The dogs took in all the money during the day and all three of the primetime games. The favorites just obliterate. It was the most chalky three games of the season. That's kind of weird, right? That's not weird to y'all?
Don't say we never give out free betting advice on the show, right?
You know what I'm saying?
And so, not only that, so free betting advice from a professional. Games,
probably check on who cashed out in the early ones. Maybe that would help you determine who you should go with.
What are you saying, so
spread number.
Stop being around the bush. Where are you trying to say?
Hey, Sosa, can you jump out of the bush, bro, and just start telling us what you really want to say?
get it off your chest, Sosa. What's going on?
Did you see the Chargers game?
Yeah.
It was week two, right?
Was it week two? Yeah. Or you mean week as in week?
Yeah. Kansas City Chiefs went up 10 points. You know what? When the Kansas City Chiefs went up 10 points, you know what their chances of winning the game was? 97.3%.
Okay.
And in week two, the Chargers marched their franchise quarterback out there, knowing they had no chance to win the game, to go down the field to score a touchdown that meant nothing outside of the spread opened at three.
It
got to 4.5.
Uh-huh.
The Chiefs were down at halftime, and everybody and their mom hammered the Chiefs money line at halftime. Why was it so important for Justin Herbert to score a meaningless touchdown where they had a 97% chance of losing the game? And remember, Staley's an analytics guy. He's the one wanting to go for it on every fourth down. The analytics literally say, take your starting quarterback out. It is week two. You leave him in there for no reason. It makes no sense whatsoever from a logical standpoint. None.
So what are you saying? Right. Somebody had money on the game?
I'm saying it's clear. There's a reason why Caesars is on top of the Superdome now.
Ooh-wee.
The okay. reason why at NBA games,
let them know
on the floor.
Let them know.
All right, Sosa, right here. So first of all, the Chargers did actually have a full minute. It's your franchise guy. He's been making plays all game. If he says he's good, I'm going to allow him to try. You have a minute, even with the touchdown. I think they still had like 40 seconds left. Crazier things have happened. You could go for the onside. I'm sure that they were thinking about it. But I don't think it is rigged like that. And that's what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's rigged. Well, you're not going to say it. But
hey, he didn't say that. No, I know.
He's trying.
No, without saying it. Hold on. Okay. Let me make one thing clear, okay? Let's be careful we don't cross that line with Sosa. And what I mean by that, we've had previous shows where certain people said things that shouldn't have been said because no one said those things, if that makes sense. So,
all right. Sorry for putting words in your mouth, Sosa.
So let's be careful. That's fine. And no disrespect. I know you don't mean no disrespect. Sosa knows what's up. It's all good.
Sosa is saying that things didn't make sense.
Exactly. Okay. They didn't add up.
They didn't
That's
add
all it
up.
Is.
Something fishy was happening in Vegas.
I'm
okay.
no mathematician.
All right.
You know? But the analytics say one thing, and again, I'm thinking of who the coach is. The coach is the most analytic, numbers-based coach we have ever seen. He goes for it on fourth down in his own territory, okay? And if you really want to be about analytics, you don't go for it on fourth down, down 10. You kick the field goal with three timeouts, and then you onside kick it. Again, make it make sense, friends. Make it make some sense.
That
that's so a here's fair
the thing.
Point.
Here's the thing. I never played professional football.
and you're not the 10, inside the 10. It makes no sense.
I never played professional football, but I played football growing up my whole life, right? I played high school. I played before that. Yeah. I played park leagues, all that, just to have fun and be active. But I know if you're in that situation, I'm sorry. I've even played Madden my whole life. If you're playing Madden, you know you kick the field goal. And then you try everything else later. So that's yeah.
And remember, this is not some old school 1960 coach now. This is Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
Mr. Hand me the spreadsheet. It just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. Like it just didn't sit well with me. I'll just leave it at that. Like it just didn't make sense. You know. Gotcha. I lose money all the time on gambling. That's fine. I mean, losing a bet's not an issue. It's the game is the game. You're talking at that, but bro, like the sequence of events were just quite strange. They were just quite strange.
Another game that was sequence of events that was strange was the Ravens collapse in the fourth quarter. There's quite a few times. I don't know if you guys both caught that game, but the corners were playing off coverage of Tyreek Hill about 9 yards or so, and they didn't even twitch until he was side by side with them as he was passing. So very confusing. I don't know what the Ravens defensive play caller was calling there, but let's just there's some definitely backdoor covers that were kind of interesting.
Hey, Sosa, your guy McDaniel, that guy, I'm sorry. I know it's only two games, right? But I'll be honest with you. If you're watching these press conferences and you're watching any possible video of training or anything that you can see from this team, he's completely changed the culture in that locker room, bro. He's not a coach. He's one of the guys. Am I being right? I mean, like, you followed this dude when he was in San Francisco. He's just one of the guys. Genius. He's fixing the shirt.
That's what he is, man.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was like, what is he doing over here? He's fixing the shirt.
Hey, man, the pride of Yale, extremely intelligent cat. I mean, there's so many things I could talk about. I mean, like, he immediately installed his run game. The first thing that Kyle Shanahan did when he was in San Francisco was went and got a left tackle. What's the first thing that McDaniel did? Went and got a left tackle.
Yeah.
He knows what he's
Shanahan
doing.
Drafted Debo. He went and got Tyreek Hill. They already had Jalen Waddle. Now, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But you're going to get another superstar who can really just fly. And I explained this a couple of months ago. Another thing about those plays is they were butt naked open. They were wide open.
Yeah.
There was no one within 10 yards, 5 yards, these guys even catching the pass. It's not just that they're extreme athletes. They have a guy that knows how to scheme them open. Like, teams don't even use fullbacks. The fullback was one of the most important players on the field for Miami. It's just like Kyle Juszczyk in San Francisco. It's the utilization of players in personnel groupings that are unorthodox that get people open in space, and it's understanding a lot of nuance and control of your athletic ability, because all these guys can run 4.3. It's a matter of, can you cover a certain amount of space in a certain amount of time and get to a spot before a defender? If you can do that, Mike McDaniel's going to put you in that position. Tua didn't have to make a single difficult throw.
No, he didn't.
These were all athletes running to wide open space. It's about delivery. Just get it there. Yes, there are guys who have more zip on the ball. Yes, there are guys who can throw it over the top and land it with more velocity. But they're not asking them to do that. They're just saying, throw to where these guys are going to be, because they're going to be there. They're faster than everyone. Yeah. And that's what it is. And another thing, just real quick, with guys like Waddle and Tyreek, they can beat you vertically and horizontally. And that is the scariest thing, especially when you install a zone run game, which isn't fully even working yet. A tight end who can't block, but obviously we saw Gesicki make an insane catch in the end zone. I just think the sky's the limit with the offense. And the number one thing about the defense is the team was last in time of possession last year. Imagine the defense gets to sit on the field 5 minutes more than it did last year, and they were a top 10 defense. The sky is the limit for the team. It goes hand in hand. That's why I picked Miami to win the division. Even though Buffalo looks amazing,
they do.
Preseason, Buffalo looks insanely good.
So Miami, if you actually look at it, it's very schematically, it's almost identical to 2019 Chiefs. And again, just everyone was faster than you, and they were scheming those guys open. same kind of concept. So I think there's going to be a growing pains, but I think that once they settle in, then we're going to truly see the explosion of that team.
My guy, we're going to let you go because I know you got to get going. You got some things to do. But before we do so, we appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Let everyone know where it is they can find you if you want them to find you. And we'll go from there, my guy.
Catch me on Daily Bread Media every single day with Rex. I just started a NFL podcast with my boy Kamish. That is the Run 4 Cover podcast.
Fire.
Catch us at Run 4 Cover Pod. We dropped our second episode today. Just trying to get the best information out. If you like our opinions, cool. If you don't, leave me a comment so I can block you. And other than that, appreciate you guys, Ian, Jose. You guys always support all the stuff that we do, whether it's with the Diamond Club, the Wise Guys Diamond Club, my VIP that I'm a part of. Whether it's that, whether it's just stuff on Twitter, appreciate you guys, you know, popping into spaces, stuff like that, and definitely just, you know, being extremely supportive of the work I do. And I always hope to be, you know, of benefit to y'all as well.
So my guy,
appreciate you, man.
We appreciate you. You've helped us grow a lot, man, on a lot of other social media platforms. You know that. So we appreciate you. Now we're going to do this since you are a guest. We, meaning me and Ian, we give out our picks of the week every single week on the NFL. We just give out one pick, you know, nothing crazy, just something for fun. So since you're a guest, every time we have a guest, we're going to ask for our guest to give us a pick. So just give us anything, nothing official, nothing crazy, but give us one pick this week in the NFL. It could be a total or it could be a side. Who do you like?
Cincinnati Bengals by
10. Is it because he deleted his social media?
Nah, he had talked about this like during camp. He wants to use the app, he'll re-download it. There's like a press conference from like earlier in camp when he said that. So like, I guess someone asked him about it again. He said that, listen, no disrespect to the Jets, but Cleveland gave y'all the game. I mean, like, and listen, I can't be mad at Nick Chubb. Because you know how hard it is when you're almost getting tackled to like just drop to the ground. Like you're trying to get to the end zone. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Horrible play by the defense down the stretch. They couldn't get refocused. They just lost it. I like Garrett Wilson. Not taking anything away from him. I'm glad he got me a bunch of fantasy points. Love
him. Good. Yeah.
DFS got me money too, so I'm cool with that. But do not be fooled, please. Like they were gifted that game. It's a get right spot for the Jets or for the Bengals. I want to believe that Joe Burrow and them are way better than what we've seen. Their coach is not giving them a lot of help. He's not called a great game in either game. But the reason why I'm going with them to come off and pop this weekend offensively is because Cincinnati's defense has played great. We thought it'd be the offense that carried them. It's the defense. The defense has played great through 2 weeks. It's time for the offense to catch up. I think they catch up this week. Cincinnati by 10. I think it's only a 3.5-point spread.
It's a five right now. We're at five.
Five.
Yep.
I think minus 9.5 on the alternate would be like plus 250 or something like that. So, Ooh. You know, I would play it up.
So he's not even giving us a regular spread. He's giving you an alternate spread to make some money. There you go.
All right. I love Cincinnati in this one. I just think that Joe Flacco got extremely lucky on Sunday and – I don't see that happening again. And I know they're your team, but you asked for honesty.
I love it. That's all we need. Hey, my guy.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you. We'll definitely be chopping it up soon, my guy. Make sure you guys follow our guy, Sosa the Locksmith, on all things social media. Be easy, man.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, that was good stuff.
Do you want to get into the Jets right now?
Actually, we can jump into that one being the next game now. Obviously, I want to talk about real quick just about what I saw last week. You and I were talking earlier. We had this conversation. What did you and I talk about preseason? All I kept saying was, I don't care about preseason. I really don't watch it. I don't know why you're watching it, but you've made me watch it. And what did I see? I saw a team that's well coached. And what I mean by that, I saw a coaching staff that knows how to coach with what they have. They know how to make adjustments. Every single game in preseason, they were losing at halftime. Mm-hmm. Every single game, second half adjustments, come back to win the game, right? Obviously, you don't want to be the comeback kid every single week because that's tough. Yeah. But what happened this past week? Let's be real. I know Cleveland's not the greatest, but before Jacoby Brissett was in there, if it was Watson, we're still saying this team's great on defense. Offense is there. Everything's set, right? Jacoby Brissett is a very serviceable quarterback. We know that. Yeah. So what I saw in this game, I agree with Sosa. I think Flacco got lucky. He had a great game, you know. Not great. He had a good game. I think Wilson had a great game. He finally showed out and showed what he's about. We saw Breece Hall, which is something I need to see more of. I think the kid can finally be that featured back that we've been hoping to have for a very, very long time. The last time we had a very good featured back, honestly, was Curtis Martin. We've had other guys, Thomas Jones, bigger names that have came in, LaDainian Tomlinson, which is only there 2 years. But I'm talking about production-wise, that stayed there. I think Breece could be that guy. Now, what I saw...
I like Breece a lot.
I saw coaching, bro. They looked... And I have receipts. Just like Salah said to all the media, I'm keeping receipts for everyone that says that we're going to suck, we're this, that, right? I have receipts that I sent to Sosa. I sent him a text during the first half. I'm like, it's so hard being a Jets fan. That's literally what I told him. He didn't even respond, and I know why he didn't respond. Because he's probably thinking in his head, chill out, bro. Relax. And look what happened. Second half, bro. Coaching. Adjustments. That defense is a good defense. They're not bad.
No.
So for you to come out and adjust on the defensive side of the ball and adjust on the offensive side of the ball to figure out what to do, I like what I saw. I'm not anointing these guys champions or they're going to make the playoffs or anything like that. But it was nice to see my team win a game early and at least go 1-1 to start the season.
So I looked at the tape. And what I saw, actually, I agree with you. Coaching-wise, from a defensive perspective, was good. Now, in the offseason, they need to go and actually hunt a true offensive coordinator because their offense is very vanilla. They're going to lose a lot of games that way. They were not taking shots until deep down in the game when there's a couple of blown coverages. But they were kind of very vanilla, running it just up the field. To the sides, I felt they were underutilizing Breece Hall a lot. Not enough like jet sweeps, misdirection plays, stunt plays. I just didn't see enough from the run game. But defensively, you guys have talent. You guys brought in DJ Reed, who's been outstanding for you. Sauce looks like a stud. Jermaine Johnson looks like a stud. That team looks really promising. As a defensive core, I like Wilson. Flacco now in his career, but penalties and Nick Chubb just kind of wore you down as the game went. You guys did get lucky. You guys obviously got the offensive onside kick that was huge, right? And I don't think they were ready for it because it is an aggressive decision that. In previous past, Jets don't normally go for stuff like that.
Just real quick, I had the Jets plus 255 in game to come back and win. Very I said, nice. Might as well. I'm looking at the script. I'm like, how many teams are still available? I'll take a chance on this one.
I believed in my team. I don't like taking my team at all.
No, again, I don't normally bet like before games. Yeah. Like if it's live and I'm looking at it, I'm like, why not? You know what I mean? Gotcha. I'm watching the game. Might as well.
Gotcha. But I saw a lot of stuff. Defense. If you guys are going to win some games here, in this season, it's going to be because of your defense. And you guys need to get some more offensive personnel as well as an actual play caller. Because Salah is a great defensive mind. I don't think he necessarily knows exactly how to scheme up an offense correctly, though.
So real quick, I know everybody hates the fact that we talk about our teams. But this week, we're talking about it for good reasons. They didn't lose. They didn't get murdered. They didn't do any of that. Now, obviously, your Eagles are looking really, really good. Jalen Hurts, and as a matter of fact, I need to read this on air before I forget, because if I do, this person didn't tell me to, but I'm going to read it. He said, FYI, this is from our good friend Mike Davis, head coach of the Vegas Nighthawks. I'm pretty sure he already messaged you too, because he said he did.
Yeah, we were talking.
He goes, FYI, my Jalen Hurts picks about to give him a year and see what happens looks pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. I already had to give Ian a hard time. So it looks like he already messaged you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what?
We obviously, already talked about
it's
it.
Only, it's only week two. We're moving into week three, Ian. Obviously, big win for you guys on Monday night. We had the doubleheader, Buffalo going against Tennessee at home in Buffalo. And then we had the Eagles taking on Minnesota at home as well in Philadelphia. 24-7 win. Not a lot of scoring in the second half.
Yeah.
But great first half. If I'm being honest with you, as funny as it sounds, this kind of reminded me of the game against the Jets in the preseason. That first drive, the first quarter, just everything early in that game looked like it was just going the Eagles' way. The run game looked good. The receivers were getting open ridiculously. Like, I'm talking
Sirianni,
about wide open.
One thing about Sirianni is he knows how to scheme an offense very, very well. Like, he was a wide receivers coach. Keenan Allen and a couple other, Michael Pittman had some of their best years with him. So he definitely knows that. Go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to
interrupt. No, you're good. So basically what my thing though about this is that now we see the game that Jalen had, right? We see the games that he's already had to start the season. We talked about this. Last year we had two teams that both started 3-0 and their respective records of the teams that they beat were 0-6. So what I'm talking about here is that we've already seen the overreaction of people talking about MVP. Oh, is Jalen Hurts the MVP? Is he already the front runner? Now, one thing I will say, I know I give you crap all the time. I mess with you because you're an Eagles fan. We're going to go back and forth. We're not a fan of our teams. Yeah. I get that. But if I'm being honest as a fan of the sport, of watching something, I have Sunday Ticket. I can watch every freaking game. Jalen Hurts looks really, really good right now. He looks comfortable. And he looks like he finally has a situation around him that is not giving him any issues, that he can play the way he wants to play his game. I feel that he's being coached at the level that he should be coached, and he's used to being coached. Remember, this kid comes from Alabama and Oklahoma. He didn't win a championship, but still.
And his dad's a coach. So
he didn't win a championship in Oklahoma, but still. The pedigree from Alabama to Oklahoma of what he did is amazing.
And you got
to
let these young guys grow. I keep saying that on every show. Everybody, if they don't do good their first year, they want to throw them away.
Yeah.
And I keep saying the prime example is Josh Allen. Bills fans wanted to throw him away the first 2 years, and now he's the best top three quarterback in the league. So you got to let these guys play. Like this instant gratification that people need for their, you know, draft picks is getting ridiculous.
Especially the raw athletes that have a lot of talent, a lot of superstar qualities, but maybe are not necessarily mechanically there yet. Like Allen, throughout even high school, he, you know, the guy's had the cannon. He's had the talent. Is just mechanics need to be cleaned up. He worked really hard. He continues to work really hard. You can see it in his game. You can just see it in the offseason approaches that he takes. Jalen Hurts is the same way. Every single time this kid speaks, if you actually listen to his press conferences, you can tell he is not satisfied with anything. Even after this game, he said, "We played not to our standard." So I'm hoping for consistency so far. Preseason, first game, this game, we have seen mechanics improved with Hurts. He's been seeing the field more clearly, hitting his guys in stride, reading correctly, getting the ball out quicker. So these are things that promote growth, and I'm very excited about my team.
Running against the clock here, man, but we're having a great time. Straight Bet Sports, Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9". Thanks to our guest, Sosa the Locksmith of the Wise Guys Diamond Club. We are live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. If you haven't already done so, download the app, man. It's free, completely free. GorillaCross.com as well. We're in negotiations, I would say, with the one and only Quan. We should be writing some stuff here shortly, man. We're going to try to get that website popping, man. We're going to try to bring you guys as much as we can from the Las Vegas sports scene or just sports in general. I cover a lot of things out here. There's times where I'm at events and I can bring things to the table. So we're going to try to get that popping, man, get that website going. But we got to run against the clock here because we still got to give our picks of the week Absolutely. At the end of the day. And I want to throw out some MLB real quick shortly. But obviously, Cardinals coming out here to Vegas, beating the Raiders, man. That was a crazy game. Hunter Renfrow fumbles at the end, trying to make the extra play. I get it. Sometimes you just got to lay down, though. Big pickup there. Recover for a touchdown. Cardinals win the game. Murphy Jr. with the return for a touchdown. Lions get their first win of the season. 1-1 to start early. I know C. Wynn is happy with that one. 36-27 over the Commanders. The Buccaneers, man. That was my pick. I had the Saints there. They win 20-10. Tom Brady finally gets his demons out, man, against the Saints. Panthers, Giants. Giants are leading their division. As crazy as that sounds, I believe they're right there with you guys as well, right, Ian, in that number one spot with the Eagles winning 19-16 against the Panthers. Looks like Baker Mayfield still can't get his first win as a Panther. Patriots beat the Steelers on the road. The questions have arose. Should Mitchell Trubisky be benched? Are we going to see Kenny Pickett pretty time soon? It's yet to be seen. Colts lose in a shutout, 24-0 against the Jaguars. We both said it. In week one, we thought the Jaguars looked better than the Commanders. Jaguars looking good, man. Travis Etienne is back. But should he be benched in week two? That's some conversation that's out there for fantasy because James Robinson is hot. I benched him, and I should have started the guy. I did not. Dolphins beating the Ravens. We talked about that one already. Obviously, Falcons, Rams. This one was closer than we expected. 31-27. Falcons going on the road and losing to the Rams in LA. Niners, 27-7 over Seattle. Obviously, we saw the Jimmy G experiment is back. He will be in full effect. We know what we're going to get there. I see good things coming from the Niners. I'm sorry. I just think that right now he is the better fit quarterback because of the experience that he has with this team and these players. Cowboys looking good without Dak Prescott helping out.
He also doesn't have a broken ankle.
There you go. Exactly. And he can throw the ball. And yeah. Cowboys looking good without Dak Prescott, making my Super Bowl championship pick look pretty good. I know you guys don't remember that. Nobody listened to it. It just flew over everybody's head. Texans losing to the Broncos. Broncos getting their first win, 16-19. Broncos still don't look good, though. I don't care if they got that win. They look horrible. We talked about that earlier. Packers-Bears now, 27-10. I know the Packers won this game. The Packers are still in trouble. I am sorry. The Packers do not look good whatsoever. We'll talk a little bit more about them in the coming weeks. Bills, I freaking hate it. They win again. I got that bet going with my buddy. They're not supposed to win, but respect where respect is due. They look absolutely amazing on both sides of the ball. Are we going to see Willis pretty soon for the Tennessee Titans here is the question. I believe we might see him sooner than we expected.
Week four.
And, of course, your Eagles just absolutely giving Captain Kirk what he deserves every single primetime game because he can't seem to get over that hump 24-7. But, Ian, as we move into week three, obviously a lot of crazy things happen in week two. Are we going to see more crazy in week three? I believe so. I'm looking at the schedule. I've been going through it and just seeing who's playing who, looking at the records.
You want to do our rundown?
We have a lot of decent 1-1s, 2-1, you know, good matchups, right? So real quick, let's see. We got about
So
7 minutes. So we got to run through it and then give our picks of the week. Steelers-Browns tomorrow. I think that the Steelers go on the road and pull this off. I am not trusting the Browns, especially after the way they lost to my Jets. Shouldn't have done it.
I'm actually going to go with Browns here. Steelers kind of burned me. I thought that they were going to dismantle the Patriots, and I liked, for the most part, what I saw from the Browns.
Vegas going on the road to Tennessee, -2 favorite. I'm sorry, call me crazy. I am not excited with the way the Raiders are playing right now. I'm not credentialed by them, so I won't get in trouble. Give me the Titans. Give me the Titans.
You said Titans, Raiders?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going with Raiders on this one. Titans have not impressed me in any of their games. I think they are definitely missing Landry a lot.
Next game, we got Bengals, Jets. Call me crazy, man. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I'm going to be like everybody else that supports their team. Give me the Jets. They're -+5.5. I'm sorry, +5.5. I think they win this game outright.
No, I think I agree with Sosa. I think Bengals actually do take this. I think this is kind of like their turnaround. I think Joe is going to go in that locker room and kind of ravel or, you know, get the cavalry going. So
give me Davis Mills and the Texans going on the road against the Chicago Bears. I still think that the Texans are a better coached team than they were previous. I know their record does not show it, but I think that they're a better coach team and they have a better staff overall than the Bears. Give me them at +2.5 on the road.
Yeah, I'm taking Texans there too.
Chiefs going on the road to the Colts. Colts look absolutely horrible. The Matt Ryan project so far is not working. The Chiefs look like they have not missed a beat since getting rid of the one and only Tariq Hill. Give me the Chiefs going on the road. They are a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I love the Chiefs here. I think Matt Ryan might be actually cooked. We're going to have that conversation in a couple coming weeks if it continues, like his play continues.
Bills, Dolphins. I think I've seen enough from the Dolphins this year to be a believer so far within week two. I've seen a lot in the Bills. Again, I can't take it away from them. But the fact that this game is in Miami, give me the Dolphins. I think that the fact that they're a 6.5-point dog at home is a slap in the face and is a disrespect. Give me the Dolphins to take out the Bills.
I hate this game. I hate this game because there's a lot of Bills. Like, if you've looked at the injury reports, the Bills have quite a lot of injuries stacking up. Give me the Bills. I haven't seen enough from the Dolphins to take them confidently here. Give me the Bills.
Detroit going on the road to Minnesota. Both teams coming in at 1-1. Minnesota, 6-point favorite here. I don't think Minnesota should be a 6-point favorite against anyone after what I saw. If we're going point spread, give me the Lions. If we're going winning, I still think that the Vikings win this game.
I think Vikings win. I tend to agree with you. I think the Lions are a good enough team that they keep this close, but I don't know if they keep it within a touchdown. I think it's close, but I'd say maybe a touchdown. Okay. Exactly.
Ravens going on the road against the Patriots. 1-1 for both teams. Patriots lose last week. Ravens lose as well. Both teams have lost to the same team. for the first loss.
Yeah, no, Ravens are going to take this.
You believe so?
Easy, easy. Like, okay. I said that about the Steelers last week. Everyone in that road, I'm sorry. But, yeah, no, Ravens absolutely are going to smell the Patriots.
Eagles Commanders. Eagles going on the road to Washington. -6.5-point favorites. I think you guys win. But I think because this is in Washington, we see a little bit of a spark from the Commanders. And I think they cover this backdoor. Not something where you guys are like not winning. No. I think it's like a meaningless touchdown, kind of like in the Kansas City game. And I think we see that. But Eagles covered.
Yeah, possibly. I think that it really depends on whether or not we can actually get pressure at Wentz. Every time the Lions were getting pressure on Wentz, he looked very rattled and he was making the same mistakes in Philly. So
Saints, Panthers. Panthers going. Saints going on the road to Carolina. I think the Saints take it. 3.5-point favorites. Come on, man. We're running against the clock. We're running against the clock.
Give it to the Panthers here.
Give it to the Panthers. Yeah, Jaguars, Chargers. I think the Chargers win this game, but I think the Jaguars cover. And I don't think this is a backdoor cover. I think the Jaguars are in this game all the way to the end. I think the Jaguars are better than people give them credit for. Some people say they were the worst team in the league. I disagree. Give me the Jaguars to cover, but the Chargers to win the game.
Yeah, I agree. There's going to be a lot of green on this right now. But, yeah, I agree with that. I don't think 10.5. I think the Chargers are too injured for that. So, and the Jags are too talented. So, but I do think the Chargers win here.
Rams, Cardinals. Cardinals riding high after that win in overtime here in Vegas against the Raiders. Kyler Murray was so excited. He decided to get slapped in the face. But, anyways, I think the Cardinals win this game. I don't trust the Rams right now on the defensive side of the ball. They don't look the same as they did last year.
No, give me the Rams. I think the Cardinals won that as much as the Raiders lost it. So give me the Rams here.
Falcons, Seahawks. I think the Falcons get their first win of the season. Even though this is on the road, I don't trust Seattle. I don't trust Geno Smith. I never have. I never will. I'm a Jets fan. He was on our team. How am I going to root for the guy? Give me the Falcons going on the road, winning this game outright.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Packers, Bucks. I think the Packers are in absolute trouble. Call the authorities because their whole offensive line has just disappeared. I have no idea where it is. Even though they won that game last week, they still look bad. Aaron Rodgers does not look happy. He doesn't have the receivers that he's used to having. I think the Bucs win this game easily. They're a 1-point favorite. I think they win and cover easily.
I think they cover. I think the Bucs win. I do not think that it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be more shades of Tampa versus Saints, where it is a defensive kind of battle. And offensive inefficiency from Green Bay.
49ers, Broncos. I think Jimmy G struts in with his Conor McGregor walk and shows everybody I'm back. It's me. I never left. I've always been here. And get used to it. I think the Niners are going to obliterate the Denver Broncos on the road. Yeah. However you say it. Completely annihilate them. How about that? Is that better?
There you go.
I think the Niners win this game on the road.
Yeah, no, I think... it's going to be quite an easy game, not necessarily because I think they're that much better, but the Broncos are severely injured, especially at the cornerback position. Surtain is, I think, ruled out. I know he's definitely questionable.
So last game is Monday night, Cowboys-Giants, which will move us into our pick of the week because this is my pick of the week. So I'll go ahead and go first here. Give me the New York Giants. I'm taking the New York Giants here to win this game outright. The Giants go into this game 2-0. Beating the Cowboys in the division overall. They go in tied with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the fact that the Giants are at home gives them a bigger edge. The Cowboys don't have Dak Prescott. They're still trying to figure it out, even though they look good. They look good against a Cincinnati team that right now is still having issues protecting their quarterback. They lead the leagues in giving up sacks right now. So remember that. Their offensive line is also not looking good whatsoever. I think the Giants are playing absolutely out of their mind right now. I don't think that... what's his name? I'm the quarterback. I'm freaking spacing now.
Jones.
I don't think Daniel Jones is doing anything crazy. But we see Saquon back and healthy. We see them having fun. We see them knowing how to play the game and not doing all the stupidity that they did before. Give me the Giants. They are a 1-point favorite. But yet 70 and 71% of the money ATS and money line are on the Cowboys on the road without a starting quarterback. Give me the Giants.
So I'm my pick of the week. I hate this, but... give me the Cowboys here. The Giants have squeaked by on two games against two somewhat... I mean, the Panthers were better than the Titans right now, but not decent teams at the best, right? So, no. And then give me a pick six for the Cowboys here, man. I think they get a lot of pressure through the middle on the Giants, and I think they shut down Saquon.
So there it is, man. Sosa had the Bengals minus 5.5 against my Jets. Ian has the Cowboys plus one on the road against the Giants, and I have the Giants minus one.
No. You're not going to make me have the Cowboys as my hot pick of the week.
That's what you said.
No. I was just picking it for the game. No,
oh, sorry, we're done.
If you want my,
you don't hear the music? Juan's saying let's go.
No, I got a real quick one. No, if you want my hot pick of the week, okay, it's the Kansas City Chiefs against the Colts.
Okay.
It's right now minus 5.5. Okay. I think that is more than enough.
Okay.
Give me alternate. Give me 7 points here.
All right. Ian's taking Kansas City minus 5.5. I have the Giants minus one. And Sosa has the Bengals minus 5.5 against my Jets. Once again, man, appreciate every single body associated with the show today. Once again, you've been tuned into another episode of Straight Bet Sports live here on the Gorilla Cross Radio Network. For Jose V, EMB, Quan 5'9, Sosa the Locksmith, and everyone else involved with the show, which I forgot, which is our sponsor, Eric Navarro of Line 'Em Up by Eric. He does our Picks of the Week segment every single week. He hooked me up today. He cut me up. 702-884-8138 or IG Line 'Em Up by Eric. We greatly appreciate you. But till next week, we are out.
Peace.